Hello, I just wanted to do another quick podcast, this time on the poem Exposure by Wilfred Owen. So this poem centres on a group of British soldiers as they wait in the trenches, waiting for war. The main conflict here, unlike a lot of the other poems in our cluster, is not man v man, but it's between the soldiers and the weather. Okay, so they are in the middle of winter and the dangers, the extreme conditions that the men were subjected to in World War One is really the main theme that's being highlighted here by Owen. So it's not the typical war poem because it's not the type of danger and suffering that people expect when they're thinking about British soldiers dying in World War One. But he wants to expose the realities of life and the fates for many of the soldiers in World War One. So, just a little bit of context then. Wilfred Owen died in 1918, just a week before the end of the First World War. He joined the war in October, but after some traumatic events on the battlefield, he was sent to hospital to be treated for shell shock. And he wrote his poetry throughout this time in the war, and they're very, very famous for their vivid imagery and shocking truths about the reality. So poems that you could compare this to would definitely be any in our war cluster. So Charge of the Light Brigade, Bayonet Charge, being two really strong ones because they show a side of war. Equally, you could compare it to Remains or whichever of the war poems you feel most comfortable with, because rather than discussing similarities, you'd probably be discussing the differences, because it is quite unique in its focus on nature and the battle of nature that the soldiers are fighting. So equally then, you could compare it to a number of the poems that show the power of nature. So Storm on the Island, The Prelude. That's about it. Okay, so just to go through the poem then, and if we're thinking of some key quotes that we would want to talk about, our first line opens, "Our brains ache in the merciless iced winds that knife us." So this is one of the quotes that I've been trying to drum in, this wind that knifes us. Nature is being personified here, and it's shown to be the attacking force, where we would expect soldiers to be having weapons. Instead, those weapons are coming from the environment, from the weather. And again, the brains aching, it's the use of our shows a collective for the group of soldiers. So similar to In Charge of the Light Brigade, where we have the Light Brigade or the 600 all being referred to as a group with that unity that soldiers felt. We've then got at the end of the first stanza, and in fact repeated throughout the poem, this "but nothing happens." And that really shows here the unusual element, this waiting. Everyone is dying in this war and they're not even fighting it yet. So that's where it really does differ from some of the other poems. So Bayonet Charge, Charge of the Light Brigade, etc. Because this "but nothing happens," "but" is always very significant, normally showing like a change in tone or a shift of some sort. And again, it's that, like, why are these soldiers dying? They're not even fighting the war that they're losing their lives for, okay? There's no honour in what they're doing, if we were to juxtapose this with Charge of the Light Brigade. If we have a little look then to add to this personification, we've got pale flakes with fingering stealth come feeling for our faces. So we've got talking about the snowflakes being personified here. Again, this malevolent winter power is like the murderer in this instance rather than an army. What else would we want to include? Well, the questioning at the end of the second stanza, "what are we doing here?" This rhetorical question refers to the futility of war. So futility means sort of pointlessness. And I think that's a very strong message that Owen's trying to put across. So again, that futility of could compare really quite nicely with Charge of the Light Brigade, where they followed, went in charge to their deaths, essentially, just on some missing information. Successive flights of bullets streak the silence, less deadly than the air. this comparison here between bullets and air, and showing that the air is actually more dangerous than bullets, again highlights the power of nature, which you could use when you are, if you choose to compare with one of the other poems from the nature side of things. Another quote that I think is quite significant is, "For the love of God seems dying," which is the second to last stanza, because they're basically being rejected. They are being ignored. No one is helping them. We learn as we go through about how people are turning their backs on the dying, and they've really lost faith. So if we think about the religious imagery that we might have in other poems, and people, you know, potentially going to war for king and country and doing these things, you know, in the name of God, and they've lost their purpose, they've lost their way. God is disappearing. He's not there, he's not saving them, he's abandoned them, they've been sacrificed. And it's not even for the cause that they believed that they were going to war to fight. They are just being brutally attacked by the weather. It's a really, really great poem to use. And I suggest it's one that you guys spend some time with your research, because even if it doesn't come up, it can be used for comparison for if a poem on nature comes up or if a poem on war comes up. It shows the horrific conditions through use of repetition, lots of imagery. So tonight this frost will fasten on this mud and us, shriveling many hands, puckering foreheads crisp. And then towards the end of the last stanza, all their eyes are ice. So this metaphor refers to the eyes of the living and the dead man, and how they've been overpowered by nature and they're dead. That it could be that they're dead and their eyes are actually frozen, but it also could mean that they, you know, just how the eyes are like the windows to the soul, that they perhaps are unable to feel any emotions. So techniques that Owen uses a lot of is personification and imagery in general. We've got some sibilance with the sudden successive flights of bullets streak the silence. So that gives, again, that presence of being there, because we can hear this sound of bullets flying through. And then the burying party picks and shovels in shaking grass, pause over half-known faces. So this idea of shaking grasp, it could be because of the cold, but it also could be because of the post-traumatic stress. So something there that you could link with remains. And half-known, the fact that these men didn't get the opportunity to know each other very well, or maybe they no longer recognise each other through what they've been through. It's a poem that kind of really dismisses the glamour of war. So that honour, that, you know, fight for your country, it shows really the harsh reality, and, as I've said before, the futility. We've got slowly our ghosts drag home. Again, you know, if they do make it home, they're making it home less of a man, okay, less of a person than when they left. Use of ghosts here, again showing how many of them have died pointlessly. So there's some good comparisons with bayonet charge if we think about the use of sibilance to highlight the violence. So in bayonet charge we've got shot slashed furrows, which mimics the sounds of bullets, in the same way that in exposure we have the sudden successive flights of bullets streak the silence. It could also mimic, in this instance, the sound of like shivering, like blah, 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 blah. So again, we've got the sound effect going when we do the reading of this poem. So both of these poets have used sibilance to show the violence and the pain. If we compare it with Charge of the Light Brigade, we've got the use of metaphors and the use of metaphors and imagery. So in Charge of the Light Brigade, obviously they're riding into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell, which is this picture of death and destruction that's awaiting this army, and they're just being swallowed up by the army, and again shows the futility, the fact that they could never have won this battle in the same way that in bayonet charge the soldiers could never have won this battle against nature, because the power of nature is so strong. Bullets smacking the belly out of the air, the violence behind the verb smacking not only refers to like the winding of the soldiers, but shows again how powerful and how shocking the conditions are for the conflict. Another comparison with charge could be the reeled from saber-stroked, shattered and sundered. So shattered means broken and destroyed, and sundered means breaking into parts. So it could refer to the army, as we know, the road the 600 went in, but not the 600 rode back. So I've got a bit of a quote that embedded there. And again, here we've got the burying party pausing over half-known faces, the quote I talked about before, again showing that this use of a group unity has been lost through these conditions, okay? So there's a number of different links. The main sort of feelings and attitudes in exposure are of suffering, of hopelessness, of pointlessness and boredom, almost frustration over the fact that nothing happens and these men are just waiting to die. And the use of the title, remember, if ever you're struggling, go straight to the title, because there's always something there that you can talk about. The fact that they are exposed, so they are vulnerable. Okay, so hope that was helpful.